Well, Abado died 3 years later in 2014, having been the architect of this remarkable orchestra. Their time together was very special. The concert's the stuff of legend. But what is it about this festival orchestra that produces such a special sound? Well, we're going to hear them playing Bruckner's Fifth in just a moment or two. But first, let's bring in Gavin Plumley, writer and broadcaster, to explore that question a little. Gavin, a very good evening to you.
Good evening.
I would imagine the idea of going and taking part in a festival on the banks of the lake in Lucerne must be one of the big draws and an opportunity to really just relax and enjoy yourself. The venue itself has got a lot to do, I think, with this orchestra, hasn't it?
Yes, it's a wonderful hall by Jean Nouvel and right on the lakeside. And the atmosphere of those alpine resorts in the summer is really unique. I mean, you can imagine having been in, you know, Berlin or Vienna, whatever, during the year and wanting to go there and having all of that light and space and air. And I think that's really the quality of the rehearsal period that Abado, when he was alive, had with the Lucerne Festival Orchestra, that there is this sort of space for exploring, for thinking, for enjoying this music. A lot of it, of course, very familiar to these musicians from the Mahler Chamber Orchestra, from the Philharmonica della Scala, lots of great chamber players in there as well. But they're approaching it and they have this time to really reinvestigate these great scores.
You see, this is the point, isn't it, that he created this orchestra out of lots of different orchestras, didn't he? I mean, he really did cherry-pick the best of the musicians of Europe.
Yeah, with the Mahler Chamber Orchestra, which, of course, he also founded at its core. And I think there is a sort of collegiality because of that. And some of the players are, of course, very familiar with each other, and they're certainly familiar with the repertoire, but that they obviously loved him as well. And, you know, this was a lot of these performances, including this one, of course, were after his cancer diagnosis. So there is, I think, a real sort of fondness for this really seriously great musician.
Mm. You mentioned there that they had quite a long rehearsal period. They were there for a long time, weren't they? What sort of... You're going to make people feel very angry now, listening, if they're in orchestras in this country. How long did they generally rehearse?
I believe they had about 10 sessions, very generous time. But they also have other groups attached to the orchestra, so there's the festival strings. So I really think it is like, you know, going on holiday to make music. Mm. And, of course, that really helps the atmosphere. And, of course, our orchestras here know exactly what it's like to play at the BBC Proms. There's a feel of holiday making there, too. But I think Lucerne is very, very special for that. And that sense of friendliness is really, they call it the leitmotif of this orchestra. And I think that really permeates their performances too.
It's remarkable how they established their reputation so quickly, really, because it was only founded in 2003. What of its future since he died? Chailly, of course, has now taken over, hasn't he?
Yeah, and that seems like a really good appointment because, of course, Chailly was Abado's protégé at La Scala in the 1970s. So there's a sense of him following through. And, of course, Chailly has recently been the Kapellmeister of the Gewandhaus Orchestra in Leipzig. So there's a sense of him also being steeped in this Central European repertoire that has been the lifeblood of the Lucerne Festival Orchestra since its foundation. And there have been Milanese musicians in the orchestra all that time as well. So it's a really good fit, though I think Chailly is a very different beast to Abado. There's something very direct about Chailly. There's something very theatrical about him as well, whereas certainly Abado in the latter years was a rather passive character on the podium. He sort of really made musicians come to him. They were allowed to breathe in these pieces, but also sort of investigate them on their own terms, with him coaxing them gently. To watch him, and there is in fact a film recording of them doing Bruckner 5, is to see someone who actually looks rather timid almost on the platform, curious but timid. And so when this enormous, wealthy, Central European, rich, gorgeous sound comes forth, it seems quite incongruous, actually, at times.
I did read an interview with him where he said that when he was young, he used to spend a lot of time listening to his father and talking, and the process of listening became central to his approach to music. And you do always get that sense, I think, when you're listening to performances that he's conducting, that of all the people in the hall, he's listening most of all.
Yes, and he tells his musicians to listen. I think it was Clive Gillinson, who's now you know, who was a cellist in the LSO when Bardo was there and is now head of, of Carnegie Hall, who said that of all things they were encouraged to listen. And actually, Bardo doesn't really say much in rehearsals and sort of allowed, as it were, the musicians to do the work, mm-hmm. although he was very much the master of this sort of collegial approach to the scores.
Well, we're going to have a chance in a couple of weeks, actually, to hear Ricardo Chailly with this orchestra, because I'm going to be introducing their performance this year at the Lucerne Festival of A Symphony of a Thousand, so we shall hear how he copes with that. But we're going to hear next Bruckner's Fifth, conducted by Bardo. And as you say, an incongruous piece almost for a man who's so still. He produces a profoundly sort of spiritual performance of this symphony.
Yeah, I mean, Bruckner, I can be the worst Bruckner skeptic on the planet, I think, and Bruckner 5 is the piece, I suppose, that I feel closest to among the symphonies. But at times, and in less skilled hands, it can seem rather put together. There's this, you know, amazing contrapuntal skill in the finale in particular, where the combination of motifs is, I mean, it's a real tour de force. Mm. But you can be aware of the knitting. And with a Bardo, it is like this thing just blooms. And the finale in his hands really is absolutely euphoric. And there's, I think you really get a sense of that atmosphere in Lucerne, which of course they brought to the Festival Hall in 2011, and the sheer joy of making music with this amazing man.
Gavin, thank you very much for joining us this evening. Let us hear the Fifth, which Bruckner called a fantastic symphony. It certainly demanded a leap of faith for audiences at the time. Here to create what he called a cathedral in sound, Claudio Abbado conducting the Lucerne Festival Orchestra at the Royal Festival Hall, as Gavin was saying, in October 2011, a performance of the Fifth Symphony by Anton Bruckner.